Ever wondered if that UFO sighting was a secret government project?
Not because they didn't go to the moon, but because they seen something on the moon they weren't supposed to.
Or if ancient civilizations really had alien architects.
Like, so Roswell, obviously they think they recovered crafts and beings.
On Theorist Theorizing, wild speculation meets seasoned storytelling.
How they dug 2 kilometers below these pyramids and created all the structures that we're now finding.
Join the theorists as they dive into UFOs, cryptids, government cover-ups, true crime, and the weirdest theories the internet and humanity has to offer.
Giza and the pyramids itself being an energy source, you know?
It's not a lecture. It's a round table of curiosity, comedy, and what if.
Maybe they got tipped off by these U-boats that fled to Argentina, that there was something there.
Theorist Theorizing. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
YouTube outages, I swear, although that may affect us here. Welcome back to the Paranorm Girl podcast. I am your host, Kristen. And on the YouTube note, I have received intel prior to this show that YouTube is experiencing some issues, some outages, but we are going to roll with it. If it comes to it, we do have a plan B. So let's just roll with it. Hi, everybody. Hi, guys. Hey, chat. So let's begin. History and hauntings are two peas in a pod, my friends. Can't have one without the other. And our guest tonight knows a thing or two about history and hauntings, and she is here to help me roll in the new season. Season 8, y'all. We've launched. Officially, we have launched. Now, I was introduced to tonight's guest years ago. I was enjoying one of my many paranormal guilty pleasures, investigation shows. It was probably Ghost Adventures, if I'm being honest. And this lovely lady appears on screen and informs the viewing audience of the storied past and haunted present of what has become a destination investigation for so many people, and that is St. Ignatius Hospital in Colfax, Washington. Our guest, who I have now had the pleasure of meeting a couple of times in person now, is the one and only, the beloved Val Gregory. And tonight we will be discussing the haunts, the ghosts, the stories of St. Ignatius, as well as tipping the hat a little bit to a couple of other local haunted spots that some inquisitive visitors may be interested in checking out. So, paranormal investigators listening tonight, if you come to Colfax, you know, maybe consider making it a multi-day affair. You know, there's lots to do here. Any newbies in the crowd, you want to cut your teeth? Do it in Colfax. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. Lots of opportunity to investigate here. Hello. Let me just say hi. D-Booze, Life Beyond 6 Feet. Thank you. Thank you for jumping on. Gil, I'm relying on you guys. You let me know if we're lagging or anything tonight, okay? So I'll keep my eye on it. I'm depending on you guys. Folks tuning in, please hang around to the end of the show. I am going to be live a couple of times over the next few weeks. I don't know why I'm going live so much. It just happened that way. My life is crazy, but I want to tell you guys all about it. So we will talk all about that in the outro today. But for now, let's get straight to the guest. Tonight's guest grew up just up the road here in Steptoe, Washington, on a farm. A farm, you say? No. It's funny because it's all farms here. Everybody is a farmer. My sister has a wheat farm, actually. She grew up, she graduated, sorry, from Washington State University, go Cougs, and was a professional fundraiser for almost 30 years. After she retired, she began St. Ignatius Ghost Tours in 2016 with the goal of saving this historic building and bringing tourists to Colfax. Since then, thousands of people from all over the world have arrived and participated in ghost hunts of this location. Please welcome to the program, Ms. Val Gregory.
Hey.
It's gotten
dark.
It's gotten darker since I saw you just 20 minutes ago. Oh my goodness gracious.
I'm Ignatius getting ready for a ghost tour, so this is the best place. Maybe I'll turn towards the light a little bit. I don't know if that'll help or not, but you'll see me.
No, I appreciate it. And if all we hear is your voice, that I'll take it. I'll take it, girl. Miss Val, I didn't mention before we started the live stream, but I just wanted to thank you so much for giving me some of your October time. I know this is a busy time, and as I understand it, that there are investigations going on all around you right now.
Yes. All my locations have investigations tonight, so yes.
Oh, yes. And we're probably going to be introducing some folks. Hey, Hair Force. Hey, welcome to the show, bud. We are probably going to be introducing some folks to these brand new locations that maybe if you're not local to Colfax, as we are, you might not have heard of. So, you know, St. Ignatius is a big hit. I expect nothing less of these other locations. So we will be talking about those. But because I like to paint a broad picture of the topics that I cover with my guests, we're going to go through kind of thoroughly a couple of points that I want to hit on St. Ignatius. And so I thought tonight it would be really, really cool because you are a historian, for you to just start out like introducing us to this incredible history of the building and also just impress upon us like why it was so important to the area.
Yeah, so St. Ignatius was built in 1893 by the Sisters of Providence, and we were the only hospital in Whitman County. Pullman got the college, we got the hospital, and Walla Walla got the prison. So I still think we're the winners. I'm just going to throw that out there. It stayed a hospital till 1969, and so like I was born here in the hospital. But it's huge. Like huge importance to the county just because Spokane was a long ways away. And so it would have been really hard for people to get medical attention just because of our location. We are literally sitting in the middle of a wheat field. So it's huge significance. And in 1969, then the nuns were kind of losing money at that point. So the county decided to build their own hospital here in Colfax. The nuns kept this building open until that new building was built so that we weren't left without health care, which was huge and a great collaboration between the county and the nuns. Then the building was turned into a home for developmentally disabled until 2003. So it kept going and it kept, you know, it had function even after it was a hospital. 2015, I showed up, and by 2016, we had started ghost tours. So it still has significance even now. And that's the big thing for us is we really want to save this building. The main reason why I've been doing this for the past 10 years is I really want to see St. Ignatius saved.
Yeah. And I do too. It's a beautiful building. It does, still have its bruises. It's it's got personality. Yes. we'll say that. I may have just missed it, and I'm so sorry. Was there was a span of time? When did it like kind of shutter and go dark to when the actual tours began?
Yeah, so 2003 is when they abandoned the building. And then I showed up in 2015 and we decided to do the ghost hunt. So yeah, it sat empty for quite a while. Just kind of, you know, the roof went bad, kids broke in, you name it, it happened. But here we are.
Oh my gosh. Well, okay, so you have quite a unique relationship with this place. So you were born here.
Yeah.
You went through the years with it. You were around for its dark and shuttered days.
Yeah.
And now you play such a big part in its saving grace, its new life. I mean, you've been through three incarnations of this place. Right. Did you ever at any point in all of that imagine that you would be here at this point, like that this could be a possibility someday?
No. I never thought that I would be here. I never thought I'd be a ghost hunter. And now I travel all over the United States to go to different locations. But I never thought that this is where I would be. I'm so glad that this is where I am, because this is probably the funnest job that I've ever had in my entire life. And I get to meet so many incredible people and hear so many stories. And I love hearing, you know, I love when people come and they say, this is so important that we're saving this place, because that is where my heart really is that these buildings are going to be saved.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, you just made me think of a question I had earlier. I heard that you were not a believer in the paranormal, in ghosts. Did St. Ignatius do that to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I came in when I first met with the mayor back in 2015. He wanted to bring tourists to his town. And I was like, oh, you open up St. Ignatius. It's been known as being haunted, even though I don't really believe. And I know it would bring tons of tourists. And I know I could get TV shows here and YouTubers. So let's try that. And my first day in, I was with the chief of police, and him and I were walking down the hall, and we both saw a shadow figure. And when we walked down there, we thought somebody broke in. It was that big. When we walked down the hall, we realized it would have had to walk through a wall because there were no doors where it actually walked. So at that point, I was like, oh, I think this might be real. And him and I heard so many things being in here. We were in here for hours by ourselves, just kind of checking things out and seeing like actually what was in here. And then I would say after that first day, I was like, okay, no, this is definitely real. Like these, there's definitely spirits here.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Life be a, yes, you do need to make a trip up here. How many years do I got to beg you, my friend? I'm trying to get, Life Beyond 6 Feet, he is a paranormal investigator and a damned good one. He and his wife, and they're all the way over in Tennessee, I have to trick them somehow into coming to the Pacific Northwest. I will.
Yes.
I will. I'm nothing if not stubborn. So being this close and intimate with the building, being around that long, do you know, like, when did the haunting start, or was it just like always that place? It was that haunted place.
Yeah, I think it's always been that haunted place. When it was a hospital, we found a book that talked, it was from the nurses. The nurses wrote notes in this notebook. And it talked about Sister Johanna. And we were like, who is Sister Johanna? Finally, we talked to someone. They said, well, she was a nun that died in 1929. Well, the notes were written in 1950. So I was like, wait a minute. This woman was dead. And they're writing notes that she goes and sits on people's beds. And then days later, those people pass away.
Oh, wow.
So they were keeping track of this nun who had been dead since 1929. And she was like actually crossing these people over. And we actually got to talk to two people who lived through that. And they told us Oh no, she was a Swedish nun. She sat on my bed. She rubbed my hand and told me it was going to be okay and that I could come with her. But they lived through it. So we actually talked to two people who said, oh no, she was real. And I'm like, she wasn't real. She passed away in 1929. So even back then, the nurses talked about different people that they would see in the hallways.
Okay.
So yeah, I think it's, you know, at least since the 50s, I've known of stories that it was haunted.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what about like more recent investigations? Do a lot of people report seeing like nuns or nurses,
yeah,
like staff?
I would say we've seen nuns and nurses. We also see little kids. So in 1918, 200 little kids died here of Spanish influenza.
Oh my God.
We hear lots of little kids' voices. In fact, the other night, I was here by myself. I think it was Monday night. I was walking down the hallway after everybody else left. And from the gift shop, I heard a little girl say hi. And it was loud. And I thought that there was another person in the building with me. I walked in there. Nobody's there. I even answered her. I go, hey. I thought maybe somebody was still shopping. And I looked outside and there were no cars. And then I realized that I was the only one in the building. So yeah, we do. I think some of our stronger presence are little kids.
Oh, I mean, it's sad, but it's kind of heartwarming. Like if they want to be there and they want to be around and you guys provide like a toy room. I mean, I'm familiar with the room, but, oh, well, how do you, or do you ever get used to closing up alone? Does that happen? Do you have to do that alone?
Yeah. Most of the time I'm here by myself. Like tonight I have a volunteer here just because I'm doing this and she's going to get the tour ready. But for most of the time I'm here by myself. There's been a few times I would say that I've asked the tour to leave with me, because if I hear a lot of running upstairs or I hear a lot of voices, then I kind of get creeped out. Yep. But for the most part, I kind of talk to them while I'm walking out and taking my equipment out and just locking up the doors. I'll talk to the spirits and tell them, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. So I kind of gotten used to it. I would say the first 2 years, there's no way I could have been in here by myself. I was terrified. I was like, there's no way. And I do still have some creepy nights. I just kind of will talk to myself. In fact, the other night, one of my tours, I like to call them the little squirrely, they left REM pod in the nuns area and in the basement.
Oh,
they
no.
had already left. I texted them. They said, oh, those are in these areas. So I had to go to both of those areas by myself. And those are two areas that I don't like to go to, not even when there's people here. And I had to stand at the foot of the steps and I had to get brave enough and I talked myself into it. So yeah, there's still areas I don't like to go to by myself.
That's so funny. That was my next question. I wanted to know like the area where Val does not tread.
Don't like the basement, don't like the nuns area. Yeah.
No, I'm right there with you. I was actually just hey, Paranormal Lounge. Hey, everybody. A lot of folks are jumping on tonight. Thank you guys for joining. Throw your questions in the chat for Val. This is hey, Abby. This is a great opportunity to talk to Val. No, I was just talking to my partner last night, actually, about our last trip to St. Iggy's. And I have never liked the nuns' quarters. Yeah. There is just something... it's inexplicable. It's indescribable. But I realized, because the last time we went, we came with a group. I had like my friends and sisters with us. And even then, like, I don't like to be up there even when I'm surrounded by people. It's I don't know. It's an oppressive. I don't know what it is.
I feel like they're watching me in my head. I feel like they're like, she's the one that's brought all those people here. Like, what is going on? And so I always feel like, oh, I don't think they like me very well. I don't know. I always tell them, though, I'm saving your building. So I'm doing what I have to do to save your building, which is really important. So hopefully they have you know, gotten used to me over the years, and here I am. So I'm not going anywhere. So hopefully they just get used to me.
Hopefully by now. I mean, it's just been a while. But you know what? That that brings up an interesting question. I wonder, have you ever experienced anything there that did not belong, that did not originate there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was probably, like, if you watch Ghost Adventures, I think I tell the story on Ghost Adventures is that I had a tour, it was a private tour, it was a bunch of gals from Vancouver. And we saw something come down the hall at us. I've never seen it again. It was like this dark mass that almost looked like a swarm of bees to me. And I know we all saw it because we all reacted. We all ducked at the same time because it was coming right at us. Two of the girls screamed. One of them started crying. And then we just had this overwhelming feel of just dread. I was terrified. I didn't know what it was. I'd never seen that before. And we realized that there was another guy on the tour that, and again, I didn't know anything about this. I was a newbie to all of this ghost hunting stuff, that was kind of conjuring something, or he was doing something outside. And my other tour guide came in and said, "This guy is doing this to the door and I don't know what it is." And I said, "Oh my God, you should have seen what we just saw come through that door." And so the very next day I had the priest come over. And again, I'm not a religious person, but he is next door. So I went right over and I said, "You got to come over because I don't know what this is." So he came over and kind of cleansed the place and told whatever it was not to be here and made me say the St. Michael prayer. And I kept saying it. I even posted it on the wall right where we saw this thing come through. So yeah, I don't think that was from here. I think somebody brought it with them. And I had no idea that that could happen. So what I think happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because the place is exceptionally active, and every time I've been there, like, it's just so strange, like how unique each experience that you will have, every trip that you go in is very unique, but it's always exceptionally active. So I was just curious, like, maybe there's more, even more going on than what we know currently about it and the characters that reside there. But on that, so the dark mass swarm of bees, is that the crawler that I've heard about, that like a crawler or a creeper, does that ring a bell?
I think the creeper and the crawler is on the third floor. I've seen him on my cameras before, and he kind of looks pixelated, like you can see through him. But when he stands up, he blocks out whatever's behind him, which is kind of weird because I can see through him when he crawls. But yeah, I think he's on the third floor, and I don't know why he crawls. I've never, I'm not really afraid of him. I don't think he's ever done anything like mean or anything, but I think that's how he gets around, just by crawling. I don't know. People have felt him touch their leg, like their foot, especially in the doll room. So, and it's always down low. It's always near your ankle. So I do think that's the crawler.
Terrified. I'm at home alone right now. I'm
like, right now, I specifically didn't go to the third floor for that reason, because it is dark in here and I'm just sitting on the second floor. So it seems like the safest place for me to be right now.
you're such a trooper. Thank you for hanging in there with me. Okay. I didn't think they were separate. That's nuts.
Yeah, two different things, yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna keep tonight's show on the briefer side, because I know you got things to get to, but I wanted to kind of showcase some of those characters. Like I was mentioning, if folks are familiar with Saint Ignatius to any extent, they've probably heard some names come up in the lore and people's reports. So I was hoping you could walk us through just a little kind of expose of three past patients in particular. And then I've got a follow-up question for you. I was thinking Rose, Michael, And I think I got this name right. Donald? Do I remember that right? Okay. Yeah, can you give us those?
Yeah. So I knew all three of those people. They would have lived here in like the 1980s. And I went to Colfax High School because my town is too small, so we don't have a high school. They used to come to all my volleyball and basketball games. And Rose was an interesting character. She was schizophrenic, and I knew Rose as Finger Lady because she would talk to her finger. I never knew Rose's real name until I started these tours. And then one of the nurses said, oh, her name's actually Rose. I was like, oh, she just talked to her finger. So I called her Finger Lady, and I was 16 years old, so I never really asked. But I did like her because she just cussed at her finger all the time. So when we opened up St. Ignatius, we found her room, and she, in her chart, said that she could drink Coors banquet beer as needed. She was my soulmate at that moment. So I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever heard. So that was in the woman's chart. And so that's why people will bring her Coors banquet beer. You'll see on her TV and on her nightstand, there's Coors, and people will come and have a beer with her. So it's awesome. I'm sure Rose still loves it. She's probably one of my more active ghosts, I would say, because like almost every single time I go into her room, I can get her to respond to me. I kind of lost her for a couple weeks. Just this was recent. But two nights ago, I went back in her room by myself. I sat in there with a REM pod, and I finally got her to start talking to me again. So I don't know if ghosts can take a vacation, but I think Rose was on vacation for a little while at the beginning of October. But she's back now because last night was super active too. So she's okay. Definitely back. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I adore Rose. I do. Okay. What about Michael? I think people are going to have some differing opinions on him.
Yeah. So Michael is interesting character. So we always say he's our very attractive ghost. When he was alive, he was very attractive. He was in a car accident and when he had brain trauma. So once he was in that accident, he became really mean towards women. And so women couldn't work with him. They only had men work with him because he was pretty violent towards women. And I think he has followed that in his past life because there's a lot of times when women go into his room, he'll say, get out. He'll cuss at him. He'll, you know, it's not nice. So we always tell women to kind of watch it when they go into his room, and his room's right next to Rose's. So they're real close.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. And 312.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know, for whatever reason, I do have a special place in my heart for Michael. I've visited his room every time that I've been. And I personally have not had a bad experience in there. And he's been the only experience in that room has been the only experience I've had with a REM pod that just would not quit. Nuts.
Yeah. He's super active. And I always have a fine interaction with him too when I go in there, but other people will say that they do not have that great of an interaction. And one of my tour guides won't go in there. She actually heard his wheelchair moving one night, and it was pretty clear. Like, you could hear it down the hall. And his room was the only one that had a wheelchair at the time. And so we knew it came from Michael's room.
Oh, man.
So she doesn't go in there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. And this one, as I recall, this one's a fun one. Donald.
Yeah. Donald. He came from Eastern State Hospital, and he had Tourette's. They put him down by the back door because his walls were really thick and he was very loud. And so they kind of kept him away from the different residents, but he had a job. They let him meet the delivery men, and he would sign for all the deliveries at St. Ignatius. The delivery men loved him because he really cussed. He had some really good cuss words that he used. So, but he did come out in the community because I knew Donald pretty well. He came down to the games and stuff. We just kind of got used to the fact that he just cussed all the time. So, I mean, that's Donald. He did love Easter and Halloween. And so people have been bringing him Easter bunnies. He's got a bunch of Easter bunny, like, stuffed animals in his room right now. I just noticed last night when I went in there. But Halloween was also his favorite holiday. So we always do something special for him on our Halloween tours. We go in and take him candy and talk to him a little extra on Halloween.
Oh, that is so sweet. Same Donald. Halloween is my favorite too. Okay. And then I wanted to leave just like a fourth one to talk about to you. Would you tell us about a spirit that is often overlooked, but maybe shouldn't be?
Well, I've got two, I would say. Kind of overlooked. Fae. Her name was Lotus Fae. She was accidentally shot by her brother with a Winchester rifle. Oh. She has been super active lately. She was 5 years old. We've gotten her name on the spirit box a lot lately and on the ovulus. And she will say, "I was shot." She said she loves it here. It's like, this is great. I'm so glad. And she loves all the people. And then Sarah is another one that's kind of overlooked every once in a while. She was the first little girl that passed away of Spanish influenza. And she is quite active. I would say at this point, she's my strongest spirit. And I don't think a lot of people talk about her. She's in the doll room a lot. She's in Rosa's room a lot. We've even gotten pictures on a day tour of her standing behind me. So I would say she definitely can do things. We have a picture of her by Rose's room, actually.
In the TV, you can see the reflection in the TV.
Yeah, here in the TV. And then we have a picture of her from her obituary. And she has like a little white dress on, and she's really a cute little gal. And we have that picture. Her actual picture is in Rose's, near Rose's room also.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think they'll get credit. Like the kids, we got to throw the kids in, because I'm not kidding you. The kids have been super active lately. They're the ones that have been talking and really kind of doing a bunch of stuff in here.
Oh yeah. You got to shout them out. And that's, I don't think I heard anybody talk about Faye before. So that's a good name I'll take with me next time. And Sarah, was Sarah a part of there was a doll story that you told? Does that have to do with Sarah?
No, that's Lucy.
Lucy. Oh, okay.
Lucy. So I don't think Lucy's from here, just so you know. I think Lucy came with the doll. Everybody brings these dolls to my doll room, which is fabulous because I have about 100 dolls now. Lucy was brought here because they said this doll's haunted. And I'm like, okay. I didn't really believe in haunted dolls. And Lucy's haunted. The doll's haunted. I saw Lucy sitting in the back of the doll room. I was the only one in the building. I walked downstairs. When I looked at my big TV that has a camera in the hallway on third floor, Lucy was sitting out in the hallway. And I was like, okay, Lucy can move. So I went back up. I moved her back into the doll room. When I got back downstairs, I was getting ready to shut down for the night. Lucy was sitting back in the hallway, and I was the only one in the building. And then I asked the contractor, I go, "Have you ever seen this doll out in the hallway before?" And he goes, "All the time." He goes, "I thought you put her there." I go, "No, I don't touch that doll." So now Lucy's in a case because she creeps me out. And we have cat toys inside the case with her and on top of her case. And at night, just for fun, because now I have a camera in the doll room because so much stuff's been happening in the doll room since Lucy showed up. I'll ask her from my house, which I don't live at Colfax, on the camera, I'll say, "Lucy, can you set off the cat toy?" And she sets off the cat toy. So Lucy is very intelligent. She's highly intelligent. So So she's probably our newest, she's our, you know, our newest addition to St. Ignatius because she hasn't been here very long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Sounds like she's enjoying the extra new attention too. Yeah. Oh, I've got a whole thing with haunted dolls. Okay. So I wanted to kind of, the final question I have for St. Ignatius before we move on, and we're going to move on to our other locations and talk a little bit about those. I thought this would be kind of fun. So I have a love-hate relationship with shadow figures, mm-hmm. which is funny because there's so many there. And I will tell people, look, I've never seen a shadow figure, and I haven't, but I've been very close to one. And they're like, intriguing. Tell me more. And I will tell them this story. One of the times I was at St. Ignatius, and I'll just do a very short version. My partner and I were walking down the hallway. At the end, I went into the room on the right. He went into the room on the left. In the room on the right, I was doing my little investigation, started getting a headache, starting to kind of feel sick to my stomach, nauseous, not great. So I was like, okay, I got to get the heck out of here. We came out, we swapped sides. Nothing happened after that point. We came back out into the hallway and began walking back the other way down the hallway, back to like the main area. And we got about 20 feet or so. And all of a sudden we hear this like tippy tap of feet running up the stairwell. And the guide, our guide, comes up to the landing. And I just remember coming around the corner, looking around. Is there anybody else up here with you? Now I'm going to let you take the rest of the story, because what people might not know is you were our guide that night, and you saw something. Can you please tell us what was happening on your side? What did you see?
I saw a shadow figure, and it terrified me. So I hadn't seen very many shadow figures before that either, except with the police way back in the beginning. But yeah, I saw a shadow figure, and at one point I even felt like something went through me, which I'd never had happen before either. And so I don't know. I hope I never see that again, is what I'm saying. Yeah, it's terrifying. We do hear things running up the stairs, though.
Oh, up the stairs. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We hear things on the stairs and on that floor. But okay. To see it is a different story. Yeah.
Right. And just to see it enough. Well, and it was easier too, because it wasn't quite dark at that point. There was still light coming through the window. And I just thought it was so blocked interesting.
Blocked out the light. And then that's when I said, oh my God, something just blocked out the light. And it's very distinct when you see something block out the light at St. Ignatius, because there's not a lot of light. You'll see right now I'm sitting on the second floor. I do have a little bit of light outside from the street light, but when something blocks it out, you know that it's been blocked out. Just because a lot of the windows are boarded up, and the little bit of light that does come in, it's very distinct that something went through it. And the other thing I always tell people, I don't have pigeons in here. I don't have animals in here. So it could never be anything flying by that would block out the light that was that big, because it was big. It was tall.
It's just, it's terrifying, because the way you described it crossing, it came from that room that was making me feel not so good, and just shoop, across the hallway.
And then it would have had to go into a room that's boarded up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one side has a door. The other side is boarded up because the floor is bad in that room. So that's the other thing that kind of creeps me out, is I'm like, well, it went through that wall.
All right. I'm done being creeped out with St. Ignatius. Creep me out with some other locations here, Val. So I'm just going to kind of give you the floor here. Tell us about these relatively newer locations that you guys are offering to, you know, inquisitive investigators. I, as I understand it, I have not been there. There's a hotel, And yep. there is something called the Perkins House, please.
Yeah. We have two locations. So one is the old hotel. It's downtown Colfax. And it is, it was a hotel. Then it was a boarding house. Then it was a place for moms, single moms during the war. And they lived up there with their children. And then it was a halfway house in the end. So it has seen a lot. And the reason that we found out it was haunted was because my business was down below. We could hear people running upstairs, and we didn't have a key to the upstairs because it's all just blocked off. And so finally we asked the owner, can we get a key? Because I think your building's haunted up there. When we went up there, it was crazy. We took a psychic up there with us, and I couldn't even believe it. First of all, it's a time capsule. It's beautiful. And the woodwork and everything is original to what it looked like when it was the hotel. Mm-hmm. But there's some dark entities that kind of roam the halls up there. We hear stuff down below. Creepy. So, I think you lost me. I'm back.
Oh, okay. No, I was hoping it would minute. Smooth out. No, you're all right. We see you.
So we added that to our list of places. So we do private tours there, and you can bring 6 people on your tour, and do a private investigation at that. And same with the Perkins House. It's the oldest house in Whitman County that's still standing. And it's been renovated. It's a Victorian home, beautiful home. And so we'll do ghost tours in there too at night.
Okay. And folks can learn about all of these locations and how to get tickets and such at what is the website? I'm so sorry.
All right, so ColfaxHauntedHospital.com. And it has all that information on how you can do private tours in all those locations. And like tonight, okay. I have all those locations are booked. So I got St. Ignatius, and then the other two have private tours. I think tomorrow night I'm booked too for all those. So yeah.
Busy time of the year for you guys. Yes. Okay.
We're open year round. We're opening. I'm open year round at St. Ignatius. So like come in August. It's great.
It'll be warmer.
Yeah, we do 31 straight days in October. And we sell out. So this is my 15th day right now in a row at St. Ignatius. So I'm sure the ghosts are really used to me right now.
They're just like, oh God, not another day. Yes, that is true. You guys are open year round. Yep. And I would agree with you. If you're going to go in August, you know, yeah. maybe July when it's warmer, because it gets mighty cold up
it's
there.
Cold
when you're
right now, I've got my big jacket on. I'm like, it's okay. But yeah, it's cold in October. December's freezing, but people still come. So yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right. So we are going to round it out here to the end. If anybody in the chat wants to get some questions in here for Val, now it would be an awesome time. Link in show notes to find. Yes, there is a couple of links in the show notes. I have put down there for you guys, but actually let me throw this up. So here is the website. Folks want to check out ColfaxHauntedHospital.com. I would also say follow them on Instagram. Find and follow them on Instagram. If there's any final questions, other questions from the chat you want to get in there while I'm asking you, you said before that, you've got the 31 days of October going on at St. Ignatius right now. Did I lose you? I think she froze. Oh, no. Well, if she doesn't come back, it's been good. It's been real, Val. But yes, folks, she was telling me, so the 31 days of October at St. Ignatius, I'm assuming because they do sell out so quickly, they sell out for October. You know, if you're planning on going, you want to do an October show or investigation, you know, plan ahead. And then she had an investigation upcoming. I wanted to ask her about,
There she is. I think I lost signal.
That's okay. That's okay. I was just going to ask you about your upcoming investigation, and we'll be done here.
Yeah, I have an investigation tonight. I think I got 10 people on the tour tonight, and should be good. Last night, hopefully tonight's is.
Awesome. Well, I hope it goes awesome. I think that's all we're going to stress your wife. I know you're just like cuddled right up to the router right now, the Wi-Fi signal. So that's all we're going to stress it for now. If you can still hear me, you still there, Val? Oh, no. Oh, well. I guess we don't get any final thoughts from Val tonight. That's okay. I'm gonna let her see if she can get back on. If she can't, that's all right. So yeah, you guys, ambassador of Colfax history right there. The ghostess guidess extraordinaris, Val Gregory. Everybody, I'll take her off the screen here. Okay. All right, you guys. So yeah, we did have to cut it short there. It was, I know her Wi-Fi out in the hospital's not the greatest, but I do really, really appreciate her joining me tonight. So let's go ahead and do our outro here. Learn more. Thank you, D-Booz. You got ahead of me. Learn more at the links that I have provided in the notes for you. And, you know, then book your trip to Colfax, you know, come check it out. Whether you visit the hospital or the hotel or, you know, the Perkins house, you know, there's a lot to choose from. I almost guarantee you are going to have one hell of a fun time. And if nothing else, you're going to have one hell of a cool story to tell. And sometimes that's what it's all about, is the stories that we tell, the experiences that we have. So, yeah, she never came back. Okay, bye, Val. Everybody wave. Bye, Val. Now, next month's guest is pretty cool. He is pretty keen on the ghostly as well, as he should be, because he's been doing it for over 40 years. 40. Can you imagine doing anything for 40 years? Over 40 years. Crazy. My millennial self can't do anything for like 40 minutes straight. I get bored. Richard Palmisano, investigator, multiple book author, Richard Palmisano joins me once again. And this time he is joined by his partner in ghost busting crime, Peter Rowe. Now they will be joining us November 15th to discuss their recently released book, The Complete Paranormal Investigation Handbook. I'm picking up my copy this week. Air Force. These guys, they have awesome thoughts, awesome theories. They put their theories to the test. They are doing investigation right, and they are doing it radically different than a lot of other investigators. Sometimes these guys, they will spend years in one particular location, and that's it. And it's thorough. It's very thorough. So please plan to join us and learn all about their methods and experiences. Again, that is November 15th, the show time for that. I will post on the socials because I haven't nailed that down with them just yet. So as we get closer, keep an eye on the socials. Second announcement, you can catch me live prior to that tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. I told you, so many lives. I will be hosting over on Beer Booze and Boogeymen for yet another paranormal happy hour. It's just a fun little show we put out every week, and we talk paranormal news and dad jokes and just fun stuff. It's a fun time. So joining me is going to be Mr. D Booze, Damien, my regular co-host on the Beer Booze and Boogeymen program, and very special guest, Heather, guest host, I should say, Heather from Tell Me a Scary Story podcast. Phenomenal lady, phenomenal show. You guys are going to absolutely love her. So we will be discussing two very creepy concepts that are making the rounds right now. Chat, tell me if you have heard of these. Number one, the by now infamous, that's not human, 911 phone call made back in 2021. Out of North Carolina. This call, if you guys want to creep yourself out thoroughly tonight before you go to bed, after this show, go pull up the audio to that 911 call. Listen to it. Try to get to sleep. Sweet dreams. You're not going to sleep. It's terrifying. So this call, I won't give away a lot, but the authorities who were involved in it responded to the call. They have confirmed it is a legitimate call. The caller was legitimately scared at something that he legitimately saw. The end. Tune in tomorrow. Second thing we're talking about is a place, and it is a liminal space that hundreds of people are claiming they have visited in their dreams. They are calling it Mall World. Have you been to Mall World 2? Do you need to tune in tomorrow and listen to the details and the descriptions of this place? Maybe jog a memory? You won't know unless you tune in. So please do tune in. That's all for that. Yes, so Paranormal Happy Hour again tomorrow. The showtime for that is 5 p.m. Pacific. Last announcement. I will be live Halloween night for one final hoorah of October. I will be joined by a very mysterious, massively enigmatic co-host. No, I'm joking. It's D-Booze. I will be joined by D-Booze from Beer, Booze, and Boogeyman. I'm stealing from my other show, you guys. He's going to join me here on Paranorm Girl podcast for Halloween hangout, PGP style. Now, this is not going to be a regular show, okay? This is going to be like a hangout sesh. It's about the fun of it. It's about the celebration of this holiday. However, we are going to be putting up public links for anyone who's interested, brave enough to jump up on screen and join us. We are welcoming folks to come on up and share a trick in the vein of trick or treat, Halloween. You can come up and share your favorite Halloween tradition. Do you do something special every year, this time of year? I actually do a couple. I've picked up a couple of things over the years. In my elder years, I do them now. You can come up and share your go-to spooky recipe. Do you make a cool alien-inspired cocktail? You know, a Halloween cake? Or you can come up and share a spooky story. We are all about the spooky stories over here. While you're doing that, D-Booze and I on our side are just going to be like, I don't know, carving pumpkins or baking ghost cookies or something. It's chill. It's a chill sesh. So whatever we're doing, just come join us, celebrate my favorite holiday with me. Okay. Costume contest. It's an unofficial thing. I'm sorry, D-Booze. I didn't talk to you about it before. I'm making an executive decision right now. I'm sorry, dude. There will be a costume contest, and I will be in costume. So you're not going to be alone if you want to show up in one. If you would like to participate in this costume contest, I'm going to give away merch to our top three winners. Okay? We'll leave it to the chat to vote on that. It's going to be awesome. No stress, you guys. It goes without saying, if you want to participate in the costume contest, you got to have like a webcam or some way that we can see you when you come up on screen. Okay. I'll flesh out all the details for you. It'll be on social in the coming week or so. So keep an eye out for that. So PGP's Halloween hangout trick, treat, or tale will commence at 6 p.m. Pacific, October 31st. Halloween. Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's all I got for you. That's all the announcements. Thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. This was rad. I'm glad to be back. And thanks again to Val. She's so cool. Let's see the introductory episode. That's right, for the new season. I do one every season just to introduce, bring people back into the fold, talk about what we're going to talk about this season. That intro episode, it's going to be up sometime this next week. Keep your eyes out on the regular platforms for that. Otherwise, just catch me back here on one of the numerous upcoming live streams. There's so many. So, you guys, until we meet again, stay safe, keep the nightlight on, and sleep with one eye open.